Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Katie Gillen with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, it's the final day before the general election, with parties hitting the road in an attempt to shore up support in key constituencies. The Tyrconnell Tribune's traditional general election poll suggests Sinn Féin will be the clear winners in the Donegal constituency, taking almost 38% of the vote. Investigations are continuing after a teenager was shot in Derry last night and a man has been hospitalised following a fire in Letterkenny. These stories in full plus more to follow. Mark Gallagher will be here with the latest in sport at around 15:15, and we will have farming news and views with Chris Ashmore after the obituary notices. But first, it's the final day before the general election, with parties hitting the road today in an attempt to shore up support in key constituencies. The three larger parties think it's all to play for heading into polling day. Political correspondent Sean Defoe has more.
Last night's poll is proving the scripture today, with the Business Post Red Sea survey of 1,000 people on the 20th to 26th of November showing the three major parties neck and neck. Just a single percentage point separates them heading into polling day. Despite a rocky campaign, Taoiseach Simon Harris believes he can still win it.
Fine Gael is running in this election to lead the next government. I believe it's entirely possible that that can happen. I think what's most likely to happen after the next election is a coalition government.
While Taoiseach Micheál Martin is wary of being installed as the favourite to be the next Taoiseach.
Always wary of that. You know, famously, I'm not a fan of polls. I think the real poll is tomorrow. Turnout will matter. We need to get out the Fianna Fáil vote.
While Sinn Féin's Mairead McDonald is refusing to think about coalition talks.
No, I'm not making eyes at anyone. I believe in absolute fidelity to my cause. So no, we're not at that, the flirtatious stage quite yet.
With just hours to go until polling opens, it's all to play for.
Meanwhile, the Tyrconnell Tribune's traditional general election poll suggests Sinn Féin will be the clear winners in the Donegal constituency, taking almost 38% of the vote. Fianna Fáil looks set to secure 22% and Fine Gael just over 12%, meaning they could lose the seat that was won by Joe McHugh in 2020. Michaela Clark has more.
The poll published by the Tyrconnell Tribune last evening shows Sinn Féin finance spokesperson Piers Doherty leading the way on 26.6%. He's followed by Fianna Fáil's Pat the Cope Gallagher on 13.88%. The poll shows good support for both Sinn Féin and Fianna Fáil. Sinn Féin's Dáil Whip, Padraig McLaughlin, sits on 11%, with outgoing Agriculture Minister Charney McConnogh on 8%. Hot on Minister McConnogh's heels is Independent Thomas Pringle on 7.2%, followed closely by 100% Redress Party candidate Charles Ward on 7%. Fine Gael's John McNulty and Senator Nicky Bradley came out on 6.3% and 5.7% respectively.
The poll suggests Fine Gael could lose its seat in Donegal, but Senator Nicky Bradley says the party shouldn't be written off. She says they're hearing a very different message on the doorsteps.
When we're on the doors, we're hearing something completely different, and the response I'm getting from all through our social media is completely different to the polls. Now, I'm not saying I don't respect them, and I understand their importance during an election, but it is important people remember that there is that margin of error.
The message that's come through over the course of the past 2 weeks, both locally and nationally, is that Fine Gael is in almost free fall and that the Harris bounce has stopped bouncing, and at the very best, it's now static. Do you believe that Fine Gael are being written off prematurely?
I think people are just reading the headlines. I don't believe that bounce has stopped. Again, if you speak to people in person, so many people, and in Donegal as well, it's really important to say, so many people talk so highly of our Taoiseach and that they love his energy. What I'm hearing in person doesn't necessarily reflect what we're seeing. We also, again, have to remember that during an election, other parties are going to jump on anything to create a story to try and stop that bounce, as you call it. I think Fine Gael are still very strong. Obviously, I wouldn't be with the party if I didn't think that.
Those who say Nicky Bradley and John McNulty neither have a chance, you believe they're being very premature in their judgment?
I don't have a crystal ball. I can't tell what's going to happen over the weekend. And I am conscious that I'm a first-time candidate. And, you know, I acknowledge that as well. So it is genuinely hard to predict fully what way things are going to go. But I can just keep going back to what I've said. What we're hearing on the doors is very positive, and I would be confident that either myself or John will retain that seat come the end. Come Sunday, we're going to hopefully have some good news.
On today's 9 till noon show, editor John McAteer joined Greg Hughes to discuss the poll and its ramifications, and you can hear that discussion on our website, highlandradio.com. Investigations are continuing after a teenager was shot in Derry last night. Police have described the attack as a deplorable act of violence. Donnamary Doherty has more.
Shortly after 10 past 10 last night, police received a report that a young man in his late teens was being taken to hospital with a suspected gunshot wound. The teenager was walking to meet a friend in the Creggan area when he was followed by a number of people and shot in the leg. He was seriously injured and now requires surgery. Police say it is appalling that a young person was attacked in such a manner. They've described the attack as a deplorable act of violence. Police say they're particularly keen to hear from anyone who was in the Springtown Road area between 9:30pm and 10 o'clock and saw anything suspicious. Foyle SDLP MP Colm Eastwood has condemned the shooting, labelling it as brutal. Anyone with information can contact police on 101 or Crime Stoppers.
A man has been hospitalised following a fire in Letterkenny. Emergency services were alerted to the fire in a mobile home in the Kirkstown area at around 10 to 9 last night. The man in his 40s was taken to Letterkenny University Hospital as a precautionary measure. A winter of discontent in the country's hospitals could be on the cards as healthcare workers have voted overwhelmingly in favour of industrial action. The INMO, FORSA and UNITE have been handed a strong mandate by their members for action, up to and including the withdrawal of labour. Nurses and midwives say they are no longer willing to operate in hospitals where demand for beds outstrips capacity. Colm Porter of the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation says the pay and numbers strategy is not prioritising safe patient care.
The pay and numbers strategy is essentially the new approach to recruiting staff within the HSE. And there's no doubt that puts at a premium financial control over the delivery of safe patient care.
An estimate of inflation show prices rose by 0.5% in the year to November. That's up from 0.1% for the year to October. CSO figures show food prices rose in the year by 1.7%, while energy prices fell by 7.7% over the 12 months to November. The figures, which use an EU measurement of inflation, show in the months since October, prices fell by 0.5%. People are being urged to contact the St. Vincent de Paul organisation if they are in need this Christmas, ahead of what will be their busiest month of the year. Rosa Glacken says social welfare boosts and other payments this month have had some benefit, but that will not last. She says more permanent supports are necessary and should be prioritised by the incoming government.
We're anticipating a very busy Christmas season when these bonuses disappear and people are struggling. And again, we're appealing to people who are working and feel that they shouldn't come to us. Do please come to us, because these people are, you know, struggling with mortgages, bills, and they don't get all these benefits. And I would say it's not a very nice expression, squeezed middle, who are struggling and so on. And again, we appeal very, very much to them to come to us.
The message that was coming from HQ in Dublin over the past few weeks, particularly, as you say, when those bonuses were coming through, was, look, bonuses are all very well. Mm-hmm. It gives people a lift, mm-hmm. but these need to be made permanent.
That's for sure. We have asked for an increase in weekly benefits and so on and so forth. And come January, the bills will be rolling in and then there will be no payments and so on. What happens then? Back to us again. Not that we will cater for it, but that's my message, that, you know, it has to be a more permanent solution to people who are struggling.
Midlands North West MEP Ciarán Mullooly has abstained in the vote for the new College of Commissioners, including Irish nominee Michael McGrath. He says he made the decision as he felt there was a lack of clear commitment from the incoming Commission and Taoiseach regarding the EU Mercosur trade agreement, which could be signed next month without being discussed by the EU Parliament and the Dáil. He also says there is a risk of a huge loss for farmers if the agreement is signed.
Well, I fail to support Ursula von der Leyen and her nominations, and I abstained in the end for one reason, because of her plans to proceed with negotiations to sign a Mercosur deal. And this is not something that's going to happen next year. It's going to be something that's going to happen next week, if we're to believe the briefing. And we're expecting a deal to be signed, and the fear is that it will not come back to our Parliament or indeed come back to the Dáil. Now, I tried when I met the commissioners to seek an agreement with them that the Dáil and the Parliament would have a vote, so there wouldn't be a split, so to speak, on this agreement. And I couldn't get that commitment. I got it from the Agriculture Commissioner that he would look at it, but I did not get it from von der Leyen.
The bottom line that's coming from farmers is we are absolutely stifled by regulations. It seems in countries covered by Mercosur, they can effectively do what they want, and we're going to lose out while there are cheap imports flooding the market, and this fundamentally isn't fair. That doesn't seem to be getting through to Ursula von der Leyen and the Commission.
This is the problem. This negotiations has been going on for over 19 years at this point, and we have made this point repeatedly to the European community. At the very least, we will lose a market of over 55 million euro in beef exports, and we're not prepared to stand by and allow the Brazilian market come in with no standards. I could not come back from Brussels or Strasbourg to farmers in Donegal in the northwest and tell them that I voted for von der Leyen's choice of commissioners without pursuing the critical element on the agenda at the moment. We cannot agree to it.
Graduate entry medical students at McGee University can access tuition fee loans from September. The announcement was made by Economy Minister for Northern Ireland, Conor Murphy. Foyle MLA Padraig De Lurgy says the action will remove barriers to education, strengthen staffing the NHS and promote regional balance in Northern Ireland. Repairs to a burst water main may cause supply disruptions to Duhurry and surrounding areas. Works are scheduled to take place until 10:30 this evening. It is recommended that those affected allow 3 to 4 hours after the estimated restoration time for supply to fully return. N2 has promised to follow through on the commitment in their manifesto to reinstate the supplementary pension for uniformed fast Ackerel workers. Donegal candidate Mary T. Sweeney says better pension provisions will help boost Defence Forces recruitment and replenish Garda numbers in Donegal. She says the sacrifices made by Gardaí and the armed forces needs to be recognised.
Our Defence Forces have been left behind completely, and the morale of our Gardaí and our army really has been totally ignored and neglected. The Irish Army is facing major difficulties for decades. And the Gardaí, from speaking to them, there are so many looking to leave the service. But we need to really reinforce and build some respect for the Gardaí and the sacrifices that they make on our streets and on our communities.
And I suppose it kind of comes back to that chronic issue that's being felt nationwide, but particularly here in Donegal, is that there just isn't enough Gardaí.
Well, for every year Fine Gael have held the Ministry for Justice, Gardaí numbers have fallen. And we saw that this year there was more Gardaí employed by the Australian police force than there were here. You know, this is crazy. Into giving a commitment in our party manifesto for the Defence Forces, the Gardaí and the Army, our uniformed services, that we will recognise the sacrifices that they need. They need to be protected, paid properly, and have pensions that allow them to live well when they retire after their work.
The time is coming up to 13 minutes past five. We'll be back after this short break. The time is 16 minutes past five. Mark is here with all the latest in sport.
Thanks, Kitty. Good evening. We'll start with soccer. New Manchester United boss Ruben Amorim has challenged England forward Marcus Rashford to rediscover his best form. He scored a career-high 30 goals 2 seasons ago, but hasn't hit those figures since and has dropped out of the national squad. Amorim says Rashford needs to have the hunger to get back to those levels.
It has to be Marcus, first of all, to try to return to that moment. And then he will have the help of all the staff with all the club and all the fans, because he's a Manchester United boy. But he has to be the first one to really, really want.
United take on Bodo Glimt in the Europa League this evening. Elsewhere, Tottenham boss Ange Postecoglou has joked that he's struggling to get to grips with the new European format. Victory at home to Roma this evening would keep Spurs on course for a top 8 finish in the Europa League, which guarantees them a place in the knockout phase. Postecoglou says there is another motivation for them to get a positive result.
My goal is to stay on that first page, because I just can't scroll down below that. So it makes it easier for me in my age with my eyesight to look at it. So any win that keeps us on that first page is good.
Elsewhere in the Europa League, Rangers make the trip to France to play Nice. Shamrock Rovers manager Stephen Bradley admits they're facing into a difficult game at Rapid Vienna in the Conference League this evening. Aaron McAniff is out with a hamstring injury for the Hoops, with Graham Burke a doubt as they look to maintain their unbeaten start to the competition. Bradley says Vienna will be their most difficult opponents to date, but he's happy with their performances in Europe so far.
Yeah, we're obviously in a good position right now in the league. I really like the new format and how it works. I think it gives every team a chance to try and qualify.
That kicks off at 8, while Chelsea are in Germany to face Heidenheim from 5:45. Brighton manager Fabian Hertzler has rubbished reports that Evan Ferguson will go out on loan in January. The Ireland striker has started just once in the Premier League this term, but Hertzler insists the 20-year-old will be staying with the Seagulls. He's urging Ferguson to be patient and to be ready when he gets the opportunities. Frank Lampard has been confirmed as the new manager of Championship side Coventry. He joins with the club 17th in the table, 2 points clear of the relegation zone, and replaces Mark Robbins on a 2.5-year contract. Moving on to rugby, Sam Prendergast will start for Ireland in the closing match of the Autumn Nations series. The out-half has been handed the 10 shirt for Saturday's game against Australia after making his first start against Fiji last week. Jack Crowley edges out Kieran Frawley as the reserve out-half on the bench. Cian Healy has also been named among the replacements. The Loosehead is set to become Ireland's most capped player. In tennis, five-time Grand Slam champion Iga Świątek has accepted a one-month suspension after failing a drugs test. She tested positive for the heart medication TMZ caused by the contamination of a regulated non-prescription medicine. The International Tennis Integrity Agency accepted the world number two hadn't intentionally broken the rules. Well, the closing date to get your nominations in for the 2024 Donegal Sports Star Awards is tomorrow. In your nominations, please include a brief summary of the achievements along with photos and video footage. You can email your nominations to info@DonegalSportsStarAwards.ie. The 49th Donegal Sports Star Awards will take place on Friday, the 31st of January in the Mount Errigal Hotel. And just finally, on the score between 7 and 8 this evening, we'll have a preview of this weekend's FAI Junior Cup fixtures. We'll be speaking to the managers from the four Donegal clubs involved this Sunday, which are Letterkenny Rovers, Fannin United, Aileach, and defending champions Coghill Celtic. Plus, we'll also be speaking to Finn Harps manager Darren Murphy, who has just signed a new 3-year deal with the club. That's all coming up on the score after the 7 o'clock news. Kitty.
Thanks, Mark. And now for the weather, cloudy and blustery for the rest of today with patchy mist and hill fog. Outbreaks of rain and drizzle will become patchy. Good dry spells developing this evening. To conclude this evening's bulletin, it's the final day before the general election, with parties hitting the road today in an attempt to shore up support in key constituencies. The three larger parties think it's all to play for heading into polling day. The Tyrconnell Tribune's traditional general election poll suggests Sinn Féin will be the clear winners in Donegal constituency, taking almost 38% of the vote. Fianna Fáil looks set to secure 22% and Fine Gael just over 12%, meaning they could lose the seat that was won by Joe McHugh in 2020. Investigations are continuing after a teenager was shot in Derry last night. Police have described the attack as a deplorable act of violence. And a man has been hospitalised following a fire in Letterkenny. Emergency services were alerted to the fire in a mobile home in the Kirkstown area at around 10 to 9 last night. That's all from the newsroom for now. We'll be back with the headlines at 6 o'clock. We will have farming news and views with Chris Ashmore just after the obituary notices. Good evening.
The obituary notice says for this Thursday evening, November the 28th. The death has occurred of Kate Doris, née Kennedy, Ballycastle, County Antrim and formerly Gortnasilla, Glenties. Kate's remains will arrive at St Connell's Church, Glenties, tomorrow evening at approximately 6 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral mass on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. Funeral mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of Anna Clafferty, née O'Donnell, Clea Clamani, remains reposing at her home. Removal from there on Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock, going to St Mary's Church, Clamani for 1:30 Requiem Mass, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to St Mary's Church, Clamani, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock until 11 o'clock. The death has taken place of Cian O'Brien, Clinchet, Clamani. Cian is reposing at his late residence. Leaving there on Saturday morning at 9:45, going to St Mary's Church, Clamani, for Requiem Mass at 10:30, with burial in the new cemetery. Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. House private, please, from 11 o'clock to 11 o'clock both nights, and strictly private on the morning of the funeral. Donations, if desired, to St Vincent's University Hospital, Dublin, care of any family member or porter funeral directors.
The death has taken place of Philomena Finan McFadden, Tobercurry, Sligo and London. Philomena's remains are reposing from Newton Fulcara and will conclude with the rosary at 9 o'clock tonight. Funeral will take place at Chapobble ní Finan Fulcara Church tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. Family time on the morning of the funeral. Funeral mass can be viewed live on mcn.ie. The death has taken place of Joe Josie McGee, Massanass, Creaslock, County Donegal. His remains are reposing at his home until 10 o'clock tonight and tomorrow from 11 o'clock until 10 o'clock. Family time on the morning of the funeral, please. Funeral mass in St Michael's Church, Creaslock on Saturday at 12 noon. Burial afterwards in Doe Graveyard. Mass can be viewed live on mcn.live. The death has taken place of Annette Kelly, née Boyce, 13 Knocknamona Park, Letterkenny, reposing at her late residence today from 6 o'clock until 9 o'clock and tomorrow from 11 o'clock until 9 o'clock, concluding with rosary both nights at 9 o'clock. Funeral from there on Saturday morning, going to St Junan's Cathedral for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, which can be viewed on churchservices.tv, followed by private cremation in Leckland's Crematorium Cavan. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. The death has taken place of Samuel Hunter, Murlock Lifford, formerly of Cranford, Milford, remains reposing at his home until 8 o'clock tonight. Funeral leaving from there tomorrow afternoon at 12:30 for 1 o'clock funeral service in Ballindreat Presbyterian Church, with burial afterwards in the family plot in Milford Presbyterian Church graveyard. House private, family, friends and neighbours welcome. Family flowers only, donations in lieu of flowers to the intensive care unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Terence McClintock, funeral director. The death has taken place of Paul McHugh, Wanna Carrig Court, Convoy, County Donegal. Remains reposing at his late residence until rosary tonight at 9 o'clock, with family time after and on the morning of the funeral. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Convoy, with burial afterwards in the family plot in the old graveyard. Family flowers only. And the death has occurred of Rosemary O'Donnell, née Woods, 21 Dr McGinley Road, Glencar, Letterkenny, reposing at her late residence until rosary at 9 o'clock tonight. Family time after the rosary, please. Funeral mass at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning in St Junan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, with burial afterwards in the family plot in Cornwall Cemetery. Funeral mass can be viewed on stjunanscathedral.ie. Family time on the morning of the funeral, please. Family flowers only, with donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Con McDade funeral directors. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear about how a six-month-old heifer calf sold for €30,000, beef breaking the €6 a kilo barrier, and the impending Mercosur trade deal that could have a significant implication for Donegal farmers. But first, a surge in turkey sales will get underway in the coming weeks, but Ireland is not producing enough turkeys to meet demand. Indeed, the demand for turkeys is around 1.5 million, but only 800,000 of these are home produced each year. And there's also a rise in the demand for organic turkeys. We'll have more on this in the coming weeks. The IFA National Sheep Chair, that's Donegal's Adrian Gallagher, has renewed his calls for robust measures to curb dog attacks on sheep. His comments came after attacks on sheep in Cork and Clare. He described both incidents as another act of failure from government to put actions in place to deal with irresponsible dog ownership across the country. Indeed, he described it as a national crisis that needs a solution immediately and said the time for talking is over. The IFA has put forward strong measures and feels that the level of sanctions that are in place do not reflect the level of trauma that these dogs are causing. Turning now to beef, and beef quotes are rising day by day as demand continues to outstrip supply, and over €6 a kilo is now available for in-spec Aberdeen Angus heifers. But the gulf between Irish and UK prices remains. Nevertheless, the surge in prices has been reflected all around the country, and as we shall hear, a six-month-old calf heifer was sold earlier this week for €30,000 at the Winter Fair in Carrick-on-Shannon. More on that in a minute from Adam Woods, Beef and Deputy Editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. But first, I spoke to him about suggestions that agreement on a trade deal between South America and the EU could be finalised shortly after years of negotiations. Essentially, this could lead to significant beef imports from South America. He's been explaining what the Mercosur deal is all about.
Yeah, I guess it's 10 times for the last 10 years this deal has been on the table, and it's got, I would say, very close to signing off and then hasn't made it through the whole way. But we're getting very close now. There's a summit called for Montevideo, the capital of Uruguay, on the 5th and 6th of December, which is next week. And at that summit, it's expected that the deal will be signed off on. It then has to go through with the European Parliament and heads of states. But this week, we found out that the European Commission are looking at splitting the deal to a sort of a broader cooperation agreement and a trade deal. And if that were to happen, they wouldn't require a unanimous decision across all the countries, and a majority vote would suffice. So if they required unanimous decision across Europe, France was going to veto that bill, which would block the deal. If it's a majority decision, that's a little bit more complicated, and we're looking to countries like Poland, Austria, the Netherlands, France and Ireland to create opposition to the deal. So I guess the background to this is that, look, at a struggling German economy. Germany are big powerhouses in Europe. Their economy is struggling, and this is a $1 trillion trade deal, and it means cars and white goods can be exported to South America. But in return, there's a 99,000 tariff-free quota for beef to be implemented, and that would mean that beef would come into Europe tariff-free, and if that's steak meat, it could cause real disruption to the European beef market. And obviously, 50% of our exports go to Europe, so that has real consequences for Ireland in particular, that we export so much of our beef. So very tense times, and hopefully those countries will come together and create opposition to it.
Yeah, because the knock-on effect coming in at a cheaper price, and then there's questions also about traceability, so a bit of a double whammy.
Yeah, you've hormone use, you've very little traceability, you've health regulations not being adhered to, environmental laws not being implemented. You know, a lot of this beef is produced on deforested land in Brazil. So huge questions about, similar standards, and those similar standards just aren't there at the moment. So hopefully everybody will see sense and block that from coming into Europe.
Yeah, so thousands of miles away, but it's something that could impact on Donegal farmers here. Let's look at things in a little bit of a more optimistic light. Beef prices very much on the up. And tell us about this record price that was paid for a six-month-old heifer calf.
Yeah, what a week for the beef industry, Chris. You know, beef heading for €6 a kilo. That's €6 a kilo as we speak. Real good demand there, tight supplies. Christmas, probably peak killing next week for Christmas. So big changes in the last couple of days on beef quotes. And as I said, over €6 a kilo now to be achieved for animals. I think we'll see that continue. If we look to the UK, they went up 5-6 pence last week. Across Europe is pretty strong as well. So there are no indicators at the moment that there should come any pressure on that trade, because demand is very high. And yeah, some Donegal roots to that animal, actually, at 30,000 in Carrick and Shannon at the weekend, the Winter Fair, 400 heifer weanlings. A number of Donegal producers actually got on well as well. Pierce McNamee from Convoy, I think he got 18,000 for a weanling there. But 30,000 was the top, a limousine cross from a blue cow. But really, really good. And I guess people are saying, look, it is a commercial reality. But if you were standing in Carrick last Monday evening and seeing the amount of young people that was around that ring, that was looking after their animals, that was there to buy animals, I think you'd have to say it's a good news story for the industry. We're struggling to get young people involved. It was full of young people. And if we can instill that love of livestock into the next generation, I think we're going in the right direction. So it's definitely, it was absolutely brilliant in terms of the trade there. And it's great to see some confidence in the sector again.
Absolutely, and helps to offset some of those steep input costs facing everybody. Looking at the short-term market, Adam, you know, demand's still very tight, lower stock numbers in Ireland and the UK. So the outlook for the rest of the year for beef is positive.
Yeah, the HDB, the Boer Beef equivalent in the UK, came out with a report last week saying that beef production will decline by 6% by 2030. That may seem small, but it's quite finely balanced in terms of demand and supply. So that is a big implication for us in terms of, because we're supplying 77% of the British imports at the moment, and they're so far ahead of us in terms of a euro a kilo. So it's all pointing to positivity at the moment. Exports, we're going to hit a record year for exports. There's five ships due to dock in Greenore port in County Louth before the end of the year. They'll take the guts of 10,000 cattle out of the country. We've also roll off record numbers of lorries leaving the country to go to Italy, Spain, North Africa, Eastern Europe. So again, that's going to have a knock-on effect on the trade next year, because there's so many cattle going out of the country. Supplies are going to be tight into 2025 and possibly even into 2026. So at the moment, it's looking good. I guess we're flying on the crest of blue tongue not coming to Ireland at the moment, because some of those exports, they would have bought their cattle in blue tongue affected countries. So now they're coming to Ireland, and hopefully we will stay blue tongue free, because that would have massive implications on our export trade were it to come.
And I suppose let's just finish off on this mini roll of positivity. Many farmers, they're seeing their bank accounts improved at the moment between acres money, organic farming scheme, sheep improvement scheme, tillage incentive scheme. It's a good time at the moment.
Yeah, I guess this is the time of year for those payments. I guess farmers would have worked very hard during the year in terms of complying with these schemes and applying them. There's so many now in terms of environmental schemes and technical schemes in relation to beef and sheep. And farmers are doing all the work required of them and doing very good work out on farms. And they generally get paid in December. So, yes, we've had an acres check out to farms this week. And BPS and Chris will roll out next week. And some of the beef schemes will be later on in December. So I guess it's a long time, though, Chris, until next December. That's the important thing to remember in terms of checks coming now. They have to last for the 12 months. But, yeah, no, when they come, supports are very important to Drystock Farm. So they're very welcome.
And that was Adam Woods, Beef and Deputy Editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. In other news, AFA President Francis Gorman has congratulated Michael McGrath on his ratification as Ireland's EU Commissioner in the new EU Commission. The IFA President said it's very important that Ireland has a strong voice at the EU Commission table. And finally, the National Dairy Council has today launched a special competition to design the organisation's 2024 Christmas card. The competition is open to all school children around the country, and the most appealing card will be used as the National Dairy Council's corporate greeting card, which will be sent out to thousands of people in the agri-food sector and beyond. The winning card design will also be promoted and featured across its social media channels and in print and media. Entries must be sent to futurefarmer@ndc.ie by the closing date, Monday, December the 9th. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.